Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's
Pastor
message.
Pastor Philip was up here, and man, I just want to tell you, brother, man, I just appreciate the anointing on your life. I thank you for giving everything that you had. I think everybody in this room can feel that you were giving it back to God. You know, many times people can say a lot of stuff that sounds good, but it's like I taught my son, what's the most important thing, son? What you say or what you do? He would say, what you do, daddy. And man, I want to tell you, what you're doing is giving it back to God. And you encourage me today and inspire me today, and just keep on moving forward in God, man. Because I believe wherever you go, you change the atmosphere. I believe that you may be an employee there, but you are the leader there. Even that supervisor, even the leadership there is probably looking at you. I know, like I'm like you, I'm a fired up Christian. I know when I walk in the room that there's some people who's down, they're going to get up, because I'm not going to let them stay down. So keep on doing what you're doing in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Harold Franklin and Annis Franklin and Pastor Marquise and his wife, Pastor Precious. You know, the theme tonight is dedication, and these are some of the most dedicated people to God that I know. These people have been pouring God into my life from the time that I met them. I've seen them through thick and thin. Walk with the Lord. Walk it out. Just continue to walk it out. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate your faith. I thank you for all the words of wisdom that you have poured into me to allow us to get to a place where we could be where we are today and be able to go out on the battlefield and minister and witness to people who need it. Like our brother said, we don't, you know, I love being in church and I love saved people, but I need some people who don't know the Lord to come, right? Because I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in this life that'll fire you up more than seeing somebody get Christ. There ain't nothing better than that, than to see a fresh babe come to Christ, to see that moment where they got low enough and they realized that they needed a savior. That's the reason why we do this. Sometimes we get too comfortable because we're on the bus and we know where we're going. But I need some other people to come with me. Amen. Amen. So let me pray before I get into this thing. Father God, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your faithfulness to your word. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for speaking to me in my time of study with you, Father God, and firing me up with the things that you were giving me. People may hear me talk and think I'm smart, but God, it's you. So, Father God, I just ask that you would open our eyes and allow us to see, open our ears and allow us to hear, open our hearts and allow us to receive, Father God, what it is you have for us tonight. I pray, Father God, that I would preach this word with passion, purpose, and power, and I pray that it would pack a punch. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's my brother Marquise packing a punch. Hallelujah. The life of a warrior. Man, how long you been doing this, man? This is the third year, fifth year? Man, see, that's dedication. That's the one thing I love about my brother Marquise is he has an entrepreneurial mind. He has foresight. He can see beyond what normal people see, what people take for face value. He can see beyond that. And I just appreciate him for doing this, not just for creating a platform for us to speak, because it's way bigger than that, but creating a platform that can grow to give God glory, where the gifts that are inside of young people can be used, right? Because this generation, as all people, they need to see people like themselves doing it. People get tired of lip service. They need to see the doers. Amen. So tonight, what I want to do, because our brother done fired us up and gave us some great meat. And what I want to do is follow that up and give us some application, because it's one thing to be fired up, but then you got to know how to take what you just were given, and then how do I apply that to my life? Because this life is more than rah-rah. You know, I was a football player, and before the game, they always have a pep talk. Right. It's that talk to get you fired up, like right before you go out there, like so you could just run through a wall like, yeah, I'm ready. Right. So like nobody gives the pep talk and then waits 5 hours before you play the game. That's too long. By the time you get to the game, that same feeling, those same emotions, they'll go away. So what I'm saying to you guys is you have to respond quickly. And I want to give you some tools and some principles that allow you to take those emotions and things that you were given tonight and apply them back out on the mission field. Amen. Amen. The life of a warrior. So I'm giving you guys the key ingredients of dedication. The key ingredients of dedication. Our theme scripture, I want to read that from the NIV. And I also added in verse 24 to that. And it says, whatever you do. Man, when I read that, you know, the word whatever simply means whatever. I mean, that's everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you skipping rocks, whatever you do. Like, God, I'm going to skip it the furthest, because and you're going to get the glory where they're like, man, you went real far with that. Because whatever you do, even a baby can glorify God. You know, I look at our newest addition to Marquise and Precious's family, little Marcel. And man, I'm going to tell you, I never seen a baby that smiles so much. And you know, when I pray in the morning with my wife, I thank the Lord for the kids and what they bring to our lives. You know, when I just think about his little face and I see that smile, that's giving glory to God. God did that. You know what I'm saying? All he knows is what God put inside of him. Praise the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Man, that's what all that you have, everything that is within you. That's what our brother, Pastor Philip, gave us, everything he had. As working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And that's exactly what our brother said. We are not doing this for men. We're not doing this to receive their praises. Like him, I always tell my boss, there's a lot of people that they know of God, but they don't know God. And so they always come to the people that they know are really connected when they're going through something. You know, when they need faith, they come into you. You know, when they speak in that doubt, and I'm telling them, like, I know we're here. I know we have a CEO and executives and all that. But what I know is that the Lord is in control. Marquise always says, you know, we got plans, but God got plans. You know, I pray for them, even though they don't know the Lord, that they will make godly decisions. They may not have the understanding, but I'm still asking for God to give them wisdom because they're in a leadership position. Amen. But we do this thing unto the Lord. I also want to go to James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Like I said, again, in the NIV. And it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. See, if you walk up, man, oh, hallelujah. If you walk away from here and all you can remember is that you felt good for a moment, that wasn't enough. If you walk out of here and you don't do anything in your life different, that wasn't enough. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. That's lying to yourself. I showed up to church. I heard the word. That's how a lot of people do. I went to church. I did my service. They didn't get nothing out of it. Going through the week the same as they went the week before. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Man. So you walk out of here, it's like you don't even know your identity no more. You walk out, you don't even know who you are. You spent 2 hours getting ready to come in and leave the same. That's very sad. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. Now, we're talking about dedication, right? It said, and continues in it. Continues in it. Man, when I hear that, I just think about, I'm still here today. So from the time of my existence to today, I have continued to grow. I have continued to mature. And then when I found Jesus Christ, I was born again and I had to go through the process of sanctification that I'm still going through, but I'm continuing in it. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. So the key to not forgetting is doing. The key to not forgetting is doing. I graduated from college, all of that stuff. And so, you know, from the time you enter preschool all the way up through university, I guarantee you, if you're at a school right now, there's some mathematics that you were taught. There's some English and some writing skills that you were taught that if you're not still using those things, I guarantee you don't know them anymore. They're gone. So what that means is that if there's anything that you want to excel in, you're going to have to take even the small amount of knowledge that you have in it and continue to do it until you get some more knowledge so you can continue to do it, until you get some more knowledge so you can continue to do it. When I hear the word dedication, I think of a couple different phrases. The first phrase that I think of is devoted to. Somebody who's dedicated, we think about, man, they have a strong devotion to what they're doing. I can speak about that in my own life. As an athlete all my life, I was devoted and still am devoted to the physical training of my body. So much so to the point where for a person who hasn't worked out for 20 years, they have to mentally prepare themselves to go. You know, they drove by the gym every day talking like, man, one day I'm going to turn and go up in there and I'm going to actually do it. But for me, it's just like breathing that breath that God gave us. I don't even think anymore. I've conditioned myself to continue in it. And some people may think, man, it must not hurt for him anymore. Because when you're out of shape, there's nothing worse than trying to get back into shape in the beginning. Man, you got things you feeling you ain't never felt before. You can't breathe. You sweating profusely. Feel like you need to go take a shower halfway in the workout so you can come back and finish working out because you sweating the machines up. But you have to condition yourself to be able to continue in it. You have to be willing to deal with the pain before you get to the pleasure. See, because I'm going to tell you, once you're in shape, the one thing I never want to do is let it go. Because I know what it takes, and I don't want to have to do that again. And in reference to the things of God, you know, I think about how many times do you want to apologize for the same sin? What is it going to take for you to finally grow up and get it right? That's because you just heard it. But you didn't do it and continue in it. Right? Maybe you devoted some things to God and God, I'm not going to do this and God, blah, blah, blah. And that's why I would say be careful what you vow to God. God doesn't need you to promise him anything. There's only one thing that you need to do. The greatest form of faith is obedience. Walk out the truth that has been revealed to you until some more truth gets revealed to you and add that to what you already got. Amen? Success in life is little victories every day that add up to long-term success. But nobody sees the struggle. Everybody just sees you on the platform. Dedication. The next phrase that I think about is all in. Right? Anybody ever seen people play a card game, a poker game? You know, when these guys are playing that game, there comes a point where they put all, like, I'm all in. I'm taking this hand, I'm all in. I'm laying it all on the line. In this Christian walk, we gotta be all in.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
The Bible says lukewarm gets spit out. You can't straddle the fence. That means that if you're going to be devoted and all in and dedicated to God, there are some things and some people in your life that you gotta shake free. Because they can't go where you're going. Right? I can't take a halfway person into my all in. Hallelujah. I also can't take two people who are halfway put together thinking I'm going to make a whole. I need two people that are already whole. That's especially true in your marriage. I don't know who that's for, but I'm going to just throw that little nugget out there for you. I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to tell some young ladies out there, that's why you can't be dedicated to a man that ain't willing to do nothing. That's not willing to provide for his family. Don't link up with a man that ain't dedicated to nothing. That ain't dedicated to the things of God. He might look like a baller. He might dress well. He might have elegant speech. But I'm telling you something. The Bible says that darkness has no fellowship with light. That if you yoke yourself up with somebody who is not yoked, equally yoked with you, there's going to be some problems. So there's no reason for you to be in shock and wondering why it didn't work out when you already went against the word. You wasn't all in. Dedication requires all of you. Somebody say all of you. My mom told me, son, marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. It requires all of you. And in my marriage, continuing in it, it's a process. Just like you get sanctified in God, I think there's a process of being sanctified in your marriage. And there's some things in my marriage, some things that my wife likes for me to do for her that I am making a priority because I want to dedicate myself to pleasing my wife. I want to become more selfless. And it requires all of me to do that. I may be tired. I may not feel like I want to do it, but I'm all in. So what are the key ingredients of dedication? If you have your notes, whether that's on your phone or your pen, you might want to write these things down because I don't want you to leave here and forget what you look like in the mirror. So you need these tools so you can remember who you are. Amen. The first thing you have to have dedication is discipline. Discipline. And the second thing that you need is the ability to prioritize. Discipline and prioritize. Somebody say discipline, discipline. And prioritize. A disciplined life is a dedicated life. Everybody in this room is dedicated to something. Everybody in this room has conditioned themselves to be disciplined at doing something. Now, some of us may be disciplined at doing the wrong things. Some people are disciplined to watch TV 7-8 hours a day on a weekend all day. Some people have that discipline. Some people have the discipline to eat whatever they want, whenever they want. Some people have that discipline. Number two, knowing how to prioritize shows you what to be dedicated to. When I go to work, I tell my employees, life is a rhythm. There is a rhythm to life. When a basketball player shoots a free throw, there's a rhythm to their dribbles. They've been doing this same little spin the ball routine their whole life, and then pop, it's that rhythm, right? They get in that rhythm. A baseball player, he finds a rhythm to his swing. You have to get in a rhythm. And so my rhythm when I get in is that I figure out everything that I need to do and what my employees have done, and I write it down on a piece of paper. Because for me, there's something that creates something that will stick in my mind when I write it down. There's just something about that that it sticks in my memory. And so there's also a sense of fulfillment when I get something done that I could highlight it off. Right? Because there's something that feels good about accomplishing, about getting things done. That's how I am. I like to get things done. Now, many people in life will never reach their full potential because they lack the ability to be disciplined and they lack the ability to prioritize. So if you don't know how to prioritize, you may have 5 things that you need to get done in your day, but you don't put an order to which one is of the most importance. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't take control of what it is you have to do in life, everything will come your way. Man, you got to be here by this time, but you don't have no alarm clock. You don't have anything that's keeping you on track, and everything will just come in the way. You know, I had an employee that I did have to put on a performance improvement plan, and his issue was being late. This brother was late every day. And so I finally had to take it to the next step. You know, you never want to have to do that. But in the end, if you don't give rebuke, if you don't give healthy correction, then I'm actually a part of the problem. And so from the time that I put this young man on the performance improvement plan, he been on time every day. That brother been like 30 minutes early every day. I've been giving him praise like, great job, man. He's like, yeah, I finally figured it out. I realized that. Yeah, I know you did. Praise the Lord. Because if you didn't, the next step is you're going to be up out of there. And some people need drastic measures for drastic change. For me, I don't want to be that person. I don't like getting a whooping to learn. I want to watch somebody. Ooh, they got the whooping. Okay, I don't want to do that. That's how I am. Amen. There are 2 types of discipline. 2 types of discipline. Number one, self-discipline. Somebody say self-discipline. Self-discipline. Right? That is the ability or learning how to control self. It starts with you. Somebody point to yourself and say, it starts with me. That's right. Self-discipline. Every morning I wake up, my wife could tell you this, I make the bed. Now, some people say, like, is it really that important? Like, you know, you're just going to come home and get right back in the same bed. Why should you make it all nice and pretty? Because for me, I'm starting my day out already accomplishing something. I'm starting my day out with making something that was all tore up and raggedy look good again. I like to make bad things look good. That's why I used to love cutting hair. I like taking somebody whose hair's all jacked up and then make them look good. I like mowing my lawn when it needs mowing so that it was all messed up. But when you get done, you step back and you're like, whoo, I did that. That looked good. I like vacuuming the floor because I like to see the line. I like for it to look good. So I make my bed every day because I already started off my life the right way with it clean. I can think. I mean, how many people have you ever had a room or known somebody, their stuff was so cluttered and dirty, a kitchen where all the dishes were, like, how do you cook in there? Now, before you cook, you got to clean everything just to be able to cook. See, for me, the bed being made, I could lay clothes out. I could see what works, what it's clean. And then I start my day, okay, I'm prepared. It's clean. I'm ready to go. And now I want to continue in that rhythm all day, accomplishing, making bad things look clean. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, he said, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Don't just go out there in a 100-meter sprint and act like you're running a 3-mile race, because at that speed, you're going to get left behind. Know what kind of race you're in. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, we're talking about discipline. Warriors are not born, they're made. Discipline is something that you condition yourself to do. Nobody is just born and have it. I know there are some people that are, you know, OCD and type A, and maybe I have a little bit of that in me. But I tell you, I don't like making the bed, but I do it because I like the result. I don't like the pain of the gym, but I like to be in shape. So I tell God when I pray in the morning, thank you, God, that it's not about how I feel. Thank you, God, that you love me despite how I feel. Because sometimes I can't feel you, God. That doesn't mean you're not there. See, that's the reason why God gives you the word. So regardless of how you feel, that doesn't mean if just because you don't feel it don't mean the word stop working. It still works regardless of how you feel. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So what that says to me and being able to come up here and speak to you, I got to do it. I can't be up here and not walk it out. And that's why we got to continue to pray for our leaders, because we're not asking them to be perfect, but we're asking them to do exactly what I said to you. Just walk out the truth that has been revealed to you. And if you make a mistake and God reveals that, then repent. And that means to turn the other way and then do it God's way. Number two, the second kind of discipline is consequential discipline. That simply means that there is a consequence for everything that you do. When people think about discipline, many times people think about the army and like boot camp, right? It's like people go there and they have to get broken down before they can get built up. We heard the brother say some people don't worship with everything they have because they ain't been low enough. Well, when you get into the armed services, they're going to break you down so they can recondition you to do things the way that they need them done. When we're talking about discipline, hopefully you have it within you to do it yourself. But if you don't, God loves you enough to give you the results of the consequences of your actions. Because he loves you. And the Bible tells us that if he did not do it, then you would not be loved. Consequential discipline. We have children. Our children need to be reared. If they do something wrong, they need discipline. Why? Because 20 years from now, we want them to be mature adults who can make the right decision when we're not with them anymore. But if you don't give them discipline, consequential discipline for the things that they do wrong, then the Bible says that you are part of their demise. You are setting them up for failure. So my question to you tonight is, what are you dedicated to? 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. The greatest power that God has given us is the power of choice. But even though God is sovereign, he still allows you to choose. Because like our brother said, he wants to see, will you give it back? I want to see if I could trust you with more. Some people don't have more because they're not trustworthy. They haven't disciplined themselves with what they already have. So why should you receive any more? I want to give you three categories of dedication. There's only three things that you could be dedicated to. The first thing you could be dedicated to are things that hinder or harm your life, meaning you're dedicated to the wrong things. The second things that you could be dedicated to are things that keep your life the same. To me, that might be the scariest one, because that's in the middle. Now, I'm not condoning doing the wrong thing, but whatever you do in life, be all in. Because you're going to be tormented like you're trying to do wrong, but then you want to do right. And you, I mean, that's like you're being torn. Either be one way or the other way. But don't be in the middle. Don't stay the same. And then the last thing that you could be dedicated to are things that challenge and push you to improve your life. And that's the hardest. That's one of the things I love about my brother Marquise. He's always pushing. He's always challenging for more. He's always looking ahead. And many times we want to stay away from the people that challenge our life because it makes us uncomfortable to think about going further. But God has created you for greater. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says that our steps are ordered. So I have to walk out what God, the doors, I have to walk into the doors that God opens for me. Amen. For all that you are dedicated to, there is a seed time and a harvest time for everything. Genesis 8:22 says, God said, for as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. That means there will be a sowing and a reaping. With that being said, I'm going to give you a few things and then I'll be out of your way. In my study for this, I came across something called the Seven Laws of Harvest. It's by a pastor and former theologian who's deceased now. His name is J. Hampton Keithley III. And he said these seven things, and they really touched my life, and I hope they will touch yours. He said, we only reap what has been sown. Which means if you don't put nothing in, you ain't gonna get nothing out. We all understand that? All right. Number two, we reap the same in kind as we sow. We reap the same in kind as we sow. When God created man, when God created the animals, he spoke about them in their kind. A whale can only produce a whale. A human being can only produce a human being. So what it's saying is, whatever it is that you are sowing, expect to get that kind of thing out of it.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.